Okay, everybody, here we go. We're still in the techniques of integration webinar commentaries. We have finished a two-hour program, number 7, and we're beginning with number 8. On page 360 of Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2. And we're dealing now with the third ray technique of integration, and we will begin with that formula. First, we'll read it through, and then offer some thoughts connected with the third ray technique. Ray 3. Pulling the threads of life, I stand enmeshed within my self-created glamour. Surrounded am I by the fabric I have woven. I see naught else. The love of truth must dominate, not love of my own thoughts, or love of my ideas or forms. Love of the ordered process must control, not love of my own wild activity. The word goes forth from soul to form, be still. Learn to stand silent, quiet, and unafraid. I, at the center, am. Look up along the line, and not along the many lines which, in the space of eons, you have woven. These hold thee prisoner. Be still. Rush not from point to point, nor be deluded by the outer forms and that which disappears. Behind the forms, the weaver stands, and silently he weaves. Okay. Well, we have a condition at the beginning of the stanza which tells of a state of imprisonment, a state which has long persisted, and which is the result of eons of behavior along a particular line. Now, we have to remember that the Ray 3 soul cannot become so until the man reaches the stage of relative intelligence. The fourth ray soul or the sixth ray soul can transfer onto the third ray when a stage of reasonably acute intelligence is reached. Sometimes we wonder why the seventh ray soul cannot make that transfer as well. And there is a close connection, we understand, between the seventh ray and the third ray, as Master R with his ashram have demonstrated at the time when he took his initiates of the second, and I think the third degree, onto the third ray with him when he became the Mahachohan. So here is the intelligent third ray soul. The third ray soul, the manipulator. Of monads, we learn that there are three types: the director, Ray 1, the teacher, Ray 2, the manipulator, Ray 3. Pulling the threads of life, these are the energy threads. Let's see, wait a second. I think we have to... No, this is correct. This is correct. Set as default, right? Okay, pulling the energy. Well, okay. Well, I experienced just a little bit of technical difficulty, but I'm beginning. I have to say this again, just in case the earlier few minutes did not catch that this is the eighth techniques of integration webinar commentaries, and we're beginning with Esoteric Psychology, page 360. And I will read this one more time, just in case it did not take. Ray 3, the technique of integration formula for the third ray. Pulling the threads of life, I stand enmeshed within my self-created glamour. Surrounded am I by the fabric I have woven. I see naught else. The love of truth must dominate, not love of my own thoughts, or love of my ideas and or forms. Love of the ordered process must control, not love of my own wild activity. The word goes forth from soul to form. Be still. Learn to stand silent, quiet, and unafraid. I at the center am. Look up along the line, and not along the many lines which in the space of eons you have woven. These hold thee prisoner. Be still. Rush not from point to point, nor be deluded by the outer forms and that which disappears. Behind the forms the weaver stands, and silently he weaves. The third ray type is often called the weaver. The first ray type, the director. The second ray type, the teacher. Maybe the fourth ray type, the artist. The fifth ray type, the scientist. These are generic terms. The sixth ray type, the devotee. The seventh ray type, the magician. So let us look closely at this. We do have the... I seem to be... I'm not doing so well here. All right, maybe this is better, yes. This is the ray of the manipulator. Sometimes the first ray monad is called the director, the second ray monad the teacher, and the third ray type the manipulator or the creative intelligent agent. So there's a special ability to draw upon, to use the hand symbolically in selecting, so this is selection, in selecting the energy threads. And there are so many of these surrounding us, the ability to pick and choose which color, which quality may be needed. Picking and choosing which color or quality may be needed to weave together a certain form. So there's a constant review of the variety of colors and qualities and tones, constant review of the variety of colors, qualities, tones, and differentiated energy aspects which can be brought together into a new combination. And that's what Master Moria tells us, that creativity is the bringing together or the establishment of new combinations. Creativity is the forming of new combinations. Okay. Pulling the threads of life, ever busy in doing this, ever selecting what may be needed for the particular form which is to be created. You see, the throat center is involved here, and the throat center is a form-creating center. When we speak, we are always creating forms. And when we think with the help of the throat center, we are creating thought forms. However, as we see of the individual in this case, it represents a condition of imprisonment. That's the way it begins for all of these. This is the first paragraph or first few sentences are pre-integrative. So the first few sentences are pre-integrative. This is how it stands with the individual after a long period of incarnations and the perpetuation perpetuation of habits which keep the individual enmeshed, we might say, in the lower three worlds. So the idea here is that a statement is made encapsulating the present condition of the individual, and then the soul will speak, or some higher realization will lead from the periphery to the center. So these first statements are about the condition of the individual as he stands at the periphery of soul consciousness, in normal consciousness, and not yet related to his center point. The center point exists in the case of all of these individuals. All right. Pulling the threads of life, ever trying to decide what is needed next, what has to be brought in, what has to be supplied, weaving through the process of selectivity. Selectivity leading to combinations, or the selectivity of that which will be combined. This preoccupies the third ray type. I stand, well, here he's standing. In all these cases, there has been a standing. I stand enmeshed within my self-created glamour. It is my own form-making tendencies which have distorted my perception of and understanding of truth. So I do not perceive reality. Surrounded am I by what I have generated out of myself, by the fabric, we might say, of thought which I have woven, and that's all I can see. And this is so important. I cannot see the thing as it is. I can only see the thing as I think it to be, and they are not the same. So my thoughts do not correlate with reality. I have this love of my own thoughts. I love activity. I love the process of generating forms on whatever level. I love the process of generating new forms on whatever level, whether or not they correlate with things as they are. Pulling all the different energies, qualities, colors, notes, tones, vibrations, whatever is available to me, pulling upon them, selecting them as I choose, pulling the threads of life, I stand, well, like Gulliver was tied up by the Lilliputians. I stand enmeshed, bound, caught, entangled. It's a good word for the third ray. Caught, bound. Yes, those words will do. Entangled, caught, bound. You know what it's like? Knotted in my self-created glamour. I can only move within the glamour. I cannot move in relation to reality. I move among my thoughts, which do not represent reality. I cannot move in relation to reality. Because I cannot perceive it, because I have blocked my vision of it through my creations, which intercept my perception. So I'm so active, I'm so generating of forms that the forms I generate provide my entire environment. So I'll just say that here. The forms I generate provide my entire environment. Okay. Surrounded am I by the fabric I have woven. I see naught else. I am blinded. So this is the conditioning, the condition of the conditioning, we might say. This represents the condition of the conditioning, which has prevailed ever since the individual became the third race soul, which he cannot be at first, we have to understand. One will be either a fourth ray soul or a sixth ray soul and make a transition onto the third ray or perhaps onto the second ray, but the four and the six can lead to the third. So later, when we reach this ability to manipulate our environment and to manipulate thought and to create thought, this is when we fall into these problems. Now let's see what the soul suggests here. What will the soul suggest? Well, a higher and more rational, more reasonable, more wise voice is stating the following. The love of truth must dominate these wild creative tendencies. Must dominate these wild, untrue, creative tendencies. But the creativity is no true creativity and does not correlate with reality. It's the ugly carpet that is being woven here in the law of repulse, and the window breaks, and though the weaver cries aloud, the sun shines in upon his woven carpet, his ugliness is thus revealed. So let's just say that thought form creativity is not necessarily truth, but can be very far from truth. In fact, it can be a glamorous, illusory creation. So it's the love of truth must dominate, and the love of truth will subdue the wild creativity. That's all we can call it, I think, at this point. Not love of truth must dominate, not love of my own thoughts. So the third ray type is in love with his own creations in the world of form, and especially in the world of thought. Not love of my own thoughts, which obscure the truth, or love of my ideas or forms. Well, it's these are not real ideas, but thoughts which represent, perhaps, ideas. Ideas are something else purer and from a higher level altogether. But we have the way of somehow talking about thoughts as if they were ideas. You say, well, I have an idea. It really means I have a thought. To truly have an idea, to truly be receptive to an idea from the cosmic ethers, is to be in touch with a great and forceful being, which, if properly timed in relation to the plan, is making its way into incarnation. Well, a thought can, with greater or lesser accuracy, represent an idea, but the true idea needs to be given form. The idea simply comes, and it is formless in terms of the kinds of forms we work with in the world of thought. But anyway, not love of my own thoughts or love of my ideas, really thoughts, or forms which I tend to create, even forms on the physical plane. Because there's a great manifestational urge for the third ray type, and they will, you know, be involved in creating various construction projects and buildings and organizations and manifestations in the lower worlds, which are made to or intended to represent some vision, some dream, perhaps even some higher contact. Instead, something else has to occur, says this wise voice. Love of the ordered process must control. Now, this is so distant from the first types of expression of the third ray. Because order is not respected, and activity for its own sake is pursued. So love of the ordered process. So the antidote is the seventh ray with its love of order and sequence. Whoop. S-Q-U-S-E-Q, sequence. And not love of my wild activity, thinking that motion, that motion is really action. And I can say here, mistakenly, thinking that motion is really action. In other words, I am because I move. That might be a mantra for the third ray type. Let's say, I feel alive, vital, as if I am accomplishing something because I move. And of course, all this movement can be a method of really obscuring the truth. Okay, the love of truth must dominate, not love of my own thoughts or love of my ideas or forms. Love of the ordered process must control. And how does that ever come about? So let's say, how does this love come about? By realizing that forms thrown together through wild activity lead nowhere, accomplish nothing, and end in futility. So much bitter experience with forms that fail. That's actually how we're eventually going to learn love of the ordered process. Not love of my own very exciting and constantly stimulated activity. I stimulate myself through my own wild activity. I imagine somehow that I am a vitally living being by my own wild activity, but my activity, I must learn that my activity obscures truth. And the activity of my mind obscures intuition, which is the truth. So now the soul will speak, whether in capital letters or in lowercase, one way or another. I have discussed this idea. Is this word, is this part of the great word? Should it be capitalized or not? Sometimes it is. In these stanzas. Should this word be capitalized? So the word, a portion of the word which the soul is, goes forth into the consciousness of the weaver, the one who brings many energies together to establish a new combination. The one who brings energies together to establish a new combination. The word goes forth from soul to form, and this is the antidote, be still. Well, you know, if I'm still, am I alive? That is the question that many third ray. If I'm not doing something, am I even living? Is there hope for me? Is there any way to achieve if I don't do? And of course, there is the failure to realize that the doing is an obstruction to real achievement in line with truth. Eventually, truth has to be spoken by the third ray and thought. The rending of the blinding veil, the clear pronouncing of the truth, and practice right will render to this blessed one that golden thread which will provide release from all the maze of earth existence. So truth, activity is a veil. The kind of hyperactivity that we're involved with the third ray, this hyperactivity is a veil and an obscuration. And do something very, very different. Who knows how to do this? Maybe the first ray knows how to be still. Maybe the seventh ray knows how to be still. The second ray also, perhaps. Learn to stand silent, you know, without your throat center always in activity, generating thoughts and words. It's a kind of the subduing of the mercury response. There is a lower mercury response, which is involved in what we might call thoughtless, mindless chatter. One of my friends says there's a whole big difference between thinking and thoughting. Thoughting is just the rather random, purposeless, undirected generation of thought, or just circulating of the thoughts which have already been created with no real directionality to that circulation. So many of us, as we chatter and just allow the throat center to get out of control, we are thoughting and not thinking. So contain yourself, be still, let's just say, use the restraining aspects of Saturn. Now, you know, I just realized this, that the word training is in restraining. It is a type of retraining. Restraining is a type of retraining. And this, the third ray type, he has so much confidence that his motion is really action, that he very much resists this enforced stillness of which the Tibetan speaks. Be still. Learn to stand silent, without your throat center, always in activity. Quiet, so, you know, keeping, not creating disturbance in your environment. The sixth ray types and third ray types are very good at creating disturbance. You know, the glamour of interference with the sixth ray type and the glamour of busyness with the third ray type, of commotion, overcome the glamour of commotion, akin to the glamour of interference on the sixth ray. Because all this commotion really does, you know, let's just say, noise interferes with the reception of truth. Overcome the glamour of commotion akin to the glamour of interference. Learn to stand silent. Trust the silence. This is very hard for the third ray type to do. Trust the silence. And be quiet. Do not disturb. Do not disturb. There should be, there should be for many third-rate types this sign, do not disturb, as we find so often on motel room doors or hotel room doors. Do not bring in extraneous movement which upsets the pattern of truth. Do not bring in extraneous, extraneous movement which upsets a better pattern of truth. And stand unafraid. Well, what has this got to do with it? Again, you know, the fear comes in via the solar plexus and to a certain extent via the sacral center. The ancient racial fears are found in the sacral center, we're told in one of the instructions in the Dyna book. Sacral center related to the third ray, solar plexus related to the sixth, and thus related to the third. It's as if activity. What do you do? I mean, what do you do when you're afraid? What do you do? Different ray types do different things. And we might say that when afraid, the third ray type springs into action, as if the action, or springs into, let me just say, motion, as if this motion can do something to counteract the fear or remove the cause of the fear. But just running around, you know, like the headless chicken is not really accomplishing anything. So in the face of motion, action in the face of fear, well, motion in the face of fear is a type of response which is ineffective. So do not always be fearful of the environment and feel that you have to immediately adapt and counteract what is going on in the environment, but learn to really assess what is going on. There is, well, you know, it's about form. The third ray is related to form, and the fear is of the loss of form. It is the consciousness within the personality that fears death and dissolution of the form, because there's such a material perspective that it is as if in the formless worlds there is no life, and there are no formless worlds. So the great fear for the third ray is that the forms that it creates will be destroyed, and the form that it thinks it is, form that the third ray type thinks he is, will be destroyed. So the vanishing of form is the fear. Yeah, we might say that the third ray type fears formlessness and thinks it to be unreal. Well, we have humanity with its great fear of death, humanity ruled by, in many respects, the third aspect, since it has such a strong personality focus. It's connected with the throat center within the planet, and that's the third ray, and connected with the Ajna center, which has also a kind of third ray function, as well as the function of other rays. So the form, when threatened, springs into activity. The form, when threatened, springs into activity. But this activity, activity without understanding. So learn to stand silent, quiet, unafraid, observing what is rather than generating what is not. So observe what is and do not generate that which is not, i.e. that which does not correlate with things as they really are. And why should you stand silent, quiet, and unafraid, because I, at the center, am. You know, let's just say I, the higher power, in which you do not believe, do really exist. There's so much skepticism in the third ray and the fifth ray. It's as if the inner worlds, at first anyway, do not exist and have to be somehow proven to the mind. But whatever this voice is, this voice of the soul, which is likely to be disbelieved by some of these types, it says, I do exist. I, at the center, am. And, you know, you are such, you range in your thought around the periphery of life, and yet I, the true reality, exist at the center of your life, which you do not know exists. So the center, that which is within is that which is above. I think that's a pretty good idea. When you're going above, you're actually going within. When you're going within, you're actually raising your vibration.